Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Somebody I've wanted to get in here. I didn't know logistically if this would be possible because we're working at the same time. He's on TV, I'm on radio, but we've made it happen because the legendary Larry Sprinkle is right here in the Ty Boyd studio.
Thank you. I'm glad you mentioned Ty because what a legend that guy is right there. But I'm glad this worked out. You know, I had to tape a few things, a little of the magic of TV, and the storms went out of here. They're gone. But it's an honor to be with you because you own the market. I'm a big fan of what you do, what you guys do, and your creativity, your production value, your on-air presence. I mean, you've stepped in here in the Ty Boyd studio, and you know you're the legend. You're the legend of the future, legend currently. But I mean, there's such a legacy at this station. And many years ago, I actually competed against you guys back in the day.
I don't know if everything you say I totally agree with. I mean, I'm doing my part to carry on the torch, but here's what I can say about what you just said. You're one of the people who built this market. You're one of the people that built radio as it is today. And I want to start by saying something. I was explaining to my wife over the weekend when I told her you were coming on, and she's not a lifelong charlatan, so she doesn't know the whole career of Larry Sprinkle like I do because I grew up here and started listening to any radio that I could consume, Larry, at the age of 5. I mean, really, I used to start air-checking Charlotte stations. We'll get to something along those lines in a moment because I found a piece of tape last night that I didn't know I still had. I heard it in my head, but I didn't know that I still had it. But I look at you, and I'm going to make a comparison. I don't know if it's spot on, but I always think of you this way. I think about Larry Sprinkle like I think about John Madden, okay? So John Madden, there's a generation out there that thinks of John Madden as a Hall of Fame NFL coach. There's another generation, mine, that grew up in the 80s, that thinks of John Madden. I knew he was a coach, but when I think of John Madden, I think of him sitting beside Pat Summerall calling NFL games as a broadcaster. And there's a whole other generation that thinks of John Madden as the video game guy.
And don't even know about the previous careers the guy had. Well, what an incredible comparison right there to be put in the same category as John Madden. But it's kind of like that, because so many people don't have any idea that I really started my career in broadcasting radio, had a whole career in radio, and then 36 years ago, I came to what they all called Channel 36 way back in the day, WCNC Charlotte, as we are known now. But I'm like you. I started listening to the radio at about 5. I just was fascinated with it. Loved everything about it. Listened to all the. I was in that time in Winston-Salem. We lived there about 6-7 years, and so I was every day, every different station in that market. So, you know, you kind of grow up with that in your brain, and then the fascination with meteorology at the same time.
Well, and you are to me. Broadcasters have always fascinated me, and when I say broadcasters, I mean people that can do it all. And you. When I was coming up, you were on the radio, and then you were a voiceover guy on commercials. We'll get to some of those in a moment. And then turn around and do weather on WCNC all these years. Now, I guess it's probably an unfair question, but do you prefer one to the other, or do you still just love it all?
Honestly, I love it all, and there's no comparison because radio is such a... it's such a totally different medium, because when I was at radio in Charlotte... At Big Ways and WROQ. I mean, literally, I'll tell people, that was like going to a party every single day. It was wild, it was wacky, it was crazy, it was fun. And I really did finish that part of my life, my career. When I left there, I knew it was time to move on. I don't compare the two. Television and is a different animal. It's exciting. Obviously, weather is changes constantly, and I've loved every minute of being at WCNC TV over all the many years. So I'm just like you. I'm fascinated with it. I love every minute of it, and I still love radio. I still miss parts of it. Some parts I don't, but most of it I do. I still think about that.
Well, I want to get into some of the radio stuff, and part of my job here on occasion is, when I can, to give people a window into what Charlotte was once like. I don't ever like to dwell on, this is how it used to be. You weren't here. You didn't. I'm more of a, I've been here all my life. You just got here. Wow, you need to know that this happened too. Yeah. Because you hear a personality like Larry Sprinkle, and you're phenomenal on television, and one of the most recognizable media personalities that we've ever had in this town and in this state. But people need to know the full-formed everything that goes into Larry Sprinkle, because I think it's fascinating and it really makes you who you are. So we'll talk more about that. I want to talk about things that you remember back in the day. I want to talk about things going on right now. There are many different ways we could go. I, when people like you sit in front of me, I think we could do 6 hours, and it'll seem like 6 minutes. But yeah, Larry,
I'd love to do that.
Larry Sprinkle, well, you know, they have these podcasts now. So.
Maybe so. That's our next challenge.
I'm excited already. Larry Sprinkle's in studio with me here from NBC Charlotte. Welcome back, Bo Thompson, along with Brother Bill T in the Ty Boyd studio.
I am so happy to be here with the one and only Bo Thompson. So happy. Thank you. Pass the loot.
How long has it been since you did that?
I probably, you know, in 1987, Jay Thomas, who passed away 4 years ago, Jay Thomas Murphy and I did this live broadcast on Magic Radio at City View. Was it City View?
City View.
Was that the new build? I think it was called, it was a City Fest.
City Fest. Yes, okay. City Fest?
Maybe one of the two.
City something?
Yes, Uptown. It lasted maybe three years.
It was City Fair, yes.
City Fair, yes. A beautiful facility with, you know, restaurants and bars.
City Fest, yes.
And they brought us back, and Murphy and I did a segment together, and Jay and I did. And that was the last time I actually did the Pass the Loot Club, except for just a few minutes ago.
Well, you know, I had Don Russell and James K. Flynn in about 2 years ago on a podcast with me, and I said to them as they sat down in front of me, I said, this is the first time you all have sat down behind dual microphones in this building in what they estimated was about 30 years. And I said, wow. Does it just immediately come back? And they said, yes, it does. It's like you give me about 10, 15 seconds to ramp up, and it's like you never missed a beat. Was that the way it was with Jay and also
Murphy? It was really that way. You know, when Murphy was here on Hancock show, he and I sat next to each other, had not been in a studio together in all those years since 87, but really in a studio. And when they started playing the Pass the Loot Club, the theme, and with headphones on, cans on, it was almost like we're back. It was a flashback in time. It was almost eerie sitting here listening to that, Murphy next to me. It was like we were back in the day, back in 1981 again.
Now, here's the ironic thing. You are sitting in the studios of WBT, 1110 AM, right? 99.3 now, but back then, 1110. And back in those days, 610 was WAYS, Big Ways. And those battles between WBT and WAYS. Well, now in 2021, 610 is right down the hall from us. It's WFNZ now. It's a sports station. But Stan and Sis Kaplan, who owned 610, and those of you all who worked there, could you have ever imagined somewhere down the line that 610 and 1110 would be under the same roof?
I mean, Stan Kaplan, I can't imagine that. It'll never happen. I'm not going to let it happen. Just forget about it.
It was a few expletives thrown in right there.
Yes.
No, I can't even. If Stan were here today, he would say,
that's not going to happen. I'll buy that station. I'll buy you. I'll buy Bo and everybody works here.
That was some heavy, heavy competition. Friendly competition, but, I mean, we were in the trenches against each other because you had two major radio stations, slightly different formats, but still when you took the power, you know, the power of the Ty Boyd show versus Jay Thomas or Murphy in the Morning, and all the other staff at this station. I mean, it was great. You mentioned, you know, H.L. Thompson, Bob Lacey,
yeah,
and Don Russell. And, you know, then later on, obviously, you, John Hancock, everybody else. I mean, and then the staff that we had at Big Ways and WROQ, because you had 610 AM and WROQ FM, 95.1. And, you know, there were times when you guys kicked us and sometimes we did the same, and it was just great competition back
now,
then.
Now, when you're working back then and you have two stations of that quality trading blows, did you, because you didn't have, you know, podcasts like you do now, like you and I can get off the air right now, and if we wanted to go listen to a podcast from this show from another day or even another radio station, the technology is there. But back then, you know, how did you know? Because I'm sure you wanted to know what the other guys were doing because you wanted to make sure you were sharp and living up to your side of the competition, right?
I mean, you would have some, you'd probably have sales somebody that, or the, an engineer, and you would have them with a transistor radio and a reel-to-reel tape recorder, taping it, you know, the way anybody did it.
You'd have
and
a spy.
Yeah, a spy. Listen, or they would just listen and go, guess what they were doing today?
Yeah.
And, you know, and Stan, the competition was amazing. I mean, he came over to this building one time. I don't know what it was all about, but he stood here in front of the building and had a little conversation with the general manager at that time. And he says, if I wanted to buy a Mickey Mouse outfit, I would buy you guys.
Now, Stan has passed on, but yeah. Sis Kaplan
Sis
is still with
still
us.
Around, and she's doing great. I mean, you know, Sis is just one of these people who the last time I saw her, it's probably been maybe 6-8 months ago, she looks the same as she did when I worked there. She's timeless and just someone who was a brilliant radio person and innovative, just like Stan. They complemented each other so well. And that's, you know, that's one reason that place is so successful. That team, those two talents in that building, mm-hmm. the sales acumen that Stan had, the brilliance of Sis and the ability to put programming together and put the right staff together. Anybody who worked at that station, those two stations, put that as probably one of the prime points of their life, that we all had a chance to be in that building together.
I never met Stan. I have not met Sis. Of course, I know who she is and respect what she built, but I want to thank her because she gave us Larry Sprinkle. I mean, Charlotte well, should thank her, and we'll talk about the evolution of Larry Sprinkle from these radio days to what you're doing now.
Ship in replacing her with New York Republican Elise Stefanik. Cheney has fallen out of favor with many House Republicans because of her criticism of former President Trump's allegations of a stolen election. Jared Halpern, Fox News.
In the world of music, there's a story as it relates to you, something about Larry Sprinkle seeing a movie with Elvis Presley. And I don't mean a movie with him in it. I mean a movie
it's
with
crazy.
Elvis Presley.
I know. I was in radio in Memphis back in the early 70s. I worked 7 to midnight at WMPS under a different name back in those days. I thought, you know, my name is Larry Sprinkle. People don't realize that's my real name. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I used Larry Sprinkle in radio for a long time and went, yeah, I've got to come up with a real cool name, name that people will remember. So I came up with Larry Lawrence. You know, very alliterative. And at WMPS, I was Lovable Larry. WMPS, Lovable Larry Lawrence is 9:35, 35, 25 minutes to 10 o'clock. Got three dog nights, you know, back in those days.
Right.
And I worked 7 to midnight. And on the way home, I lived in an area called Whitehaven in Memphis, which is right beyond Graceland. And every night I'd drive by Graceland and see these guys at the gate. And remember, this is way before anybody knew about Elvis's life. You know, we just knew he was a this phenomenal human being, and he did have another life. And so one night I stopped in, got out of the car, and walked up to the gate. There's like five or six guys there, and I introduced myself. And I said, I see you guys here every night. And I said, come on, hang. They're all good old boys. Y'all hang out with us, man. Sometimes he come down here and you can see him. And the gatekeeper was Vester Presley, Vernon Presley, Elvis's father's brother. And he was the gatekeeper, always there. I used to hang out there like this one for like months. And one morning, it was about 2:30 in the morning, the phone rings and Vester goes, hello, hold on a minute, any of you boys want to go to the movie? And I was looking around and I was going, what? And they go, yeah, oh yeah, yeah, okay, there's one, two, there's six of them, okay. And he goes, y'all jump in that six car that's coming back there and y'all go in the movie. I said, what is going on? And they said, just wait. So the first car that came down the driveway was a Mercedes with tinted windows. And the window came down and driving the car was Elvis.
Wow.
And he looks at, y'all get in that six car and we're going down to Memphis Theater. Thank you. So we jump in the car, we get down to the theater, and it's lit up like it's 7 o'clock at night. The marquee is on. You look inside, you see people who work there. The popcorn machine, everything's going. No one knew that he went to the movie at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
We go in, And I can't remember his manager, not Tom Parker, but his, like, regular guy, one of the Memphis Mafia. He goes, come on down in here. You guys sit down 10th row here and watch the movies. We sat down, about six of us, and about 5 minutes later, here comes those guys who we found out were the Memphis Mafia, right. About 12 of them. They're about 10 rows in front of us. They sat down, and they showed two first-run movies. I have no idea to the day. I can't remember what
not
they were.
Not Elvis movies.
No. First-run movies. And I just sat there going, I cannot believe this. And then the movies ended. We went back in the lobby, and the guy said, stand right here. So we're all six of us. And all of a sudden, this the presence of Elvis Presley. He was dressed, not like for a concert, but he had the flared pants on. He had the big wide-open collar. You know, this is the early 70s, big wide-open collar. That big medallion, big belt buckle, and just a beautiful human being, uh-huh. You know. And the guy goes, Elvis, this is Larry Lawrence from WMPS. And he goes, I feel like I was 6 years old. Mr. Presley, thank you. I cannot believe I'm here with you. So, you know, Larry, you know, my first manager was Hal Neal. He was the morning DJ at WMPS back in the 50s. He was my first manager for Tom Parker. Come back some other time. That was my meeting Elvis and going to the movies.
Wow.
With, yeah.
So you were actually there when they said, Elvis has entered the building.
Entered the building, yes.
And
yeah.
I'm in there with him.
It was like something out of a crazy dream, you know, but it was reality. It was just a lucky circumstance. I just happened to be in the right place at the gate at the right time with Uncle Vester Presley.
So lovable.
Yeah, lovable Larry Lawrence.
Larry Lawrence saw a movie with Elvis in it, in the theater.
In the theater, not in the movie. It was not. They did not show it, and I guarantee you would not want to see. He did not like his movie.
Right.
You know.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
that's
crazy.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Larry Sprinkle, or lovable Larry Lawrence, whichever
way,
you prefer,
I go by either one, yeah.
Is with me right now. And, of course, we're talking about radio stories, but you are, I believe, and it was reinforced 5 or 6 years ago, we had this Charlotte Broadcast Hall of Fame. You remember that gathering?
Yeah, you were there.
I was there, and, you know, Ty Boyd, the late Ty Boyd was there. The late Doug Mays was there. He mm-hmm. was honored. But it was a gathering of all of Charlotte Broadcast Media, and it was the first class into the Charlotte Broadcast Hall of Fame. And you were there, and watching the... Well, I just like to watch how people react to you, and you really are one of the true North Carolina, Charlotte superstars of media, period. And you've carried that on from radio and now into all your years at WCNC. But, man, what an ambassador you are to this city.
Keep
really
talking.
Are, though. I mean, I know I'm not the first person who said that to you, but you do have to marvel at how media has changed since you've been in it. I mean, and you're still in it, and you're still dominating your part of it. But it really, I'm curious, when we talk about things of days gone by, when you talk about things of present and things down the road, what does a guy like Larry Sprinkle think?
I'm because I'm like you. I grew up as a little kid, 5 years old, loving both radio and television, fascinated with both, and just... the fact that I've been able to stay in this business so long has been a dream. It's a dream I had as a little kid, the dream that continues. I always wanted, what I'm doing now is exactly what I wanted to do. And when I came to Charlotte, I had the chance to do so many things. In my radio career, being able to kind of double up and do a lot of things in the entertainment business, television, some movies. I did a lot of commercials, and a lot of those commercials were done in this building right here, downstairs, Jefferson Productions. The Tidy Bowl commercial done.
Now, hang on, because okay. I said I had some tape. Let's roll that one, John.
I'm fed up with scrubbing.
Excuse me, but you need Tidy Bowl. Here.
Oh, it's you, the Tidy Bowl man. Will this help?
Sure. With each flush, Tidy Bowl releases strong cleaners that help keep toilet bowls stain-free.
How do I know Tidy Bowl's cleaning?
The sparkling color tells you that it's working hard. Tidy Bowl's powerful and safe on plumbing.
That's great.
Comes in lemon fresh blue or pine-scented green. With Tidy Bowl, you'll scrub less.
Safe on plumbing, too.
You know, move over, Howard Stern. You really are the king of all media.
I cannot believe that you dug in the trenches, literally.
Hey, I'm not done yet.
To find that. I mean, my whole career has been flush since then.
What year was that?
That was probably, I think I did probably from 78 until, actually what happened was the... campaign, 78 to 82-ish, and then they went to like a cartoon character doing it. And then it went away. Then Tiny Bowl went away and then came back some other, you know, a few years ago. But, yeah, I did that. And I was in Los Angeles at a radio and records convention and walked into this banquet hall. And some lady, I mean, this is the first time anything like that ever happened to me because it was many, many years ago. Because in radio, you're very seldom recognized. And she goes, "Oh, my gosh, Arnold, it's the Tidy Boy Man. I can't believe it. Give me a big hug." And that was my friends went, "You recognize in Los Angeles, of all cities, as the Tidy Bowl Man with all these celebrities, movie stars, great talent, and they recognize the Tidy Bowl Man of all people."
It's funny you said that they developed a cartoon character out of it. Because when I first started working here on Sunday nights, I'm lucky. I didn't know the context of it at the time, but my first job was running the control board as a high school student, and I came in. I've told this story on the air, but Ray Gooding, Sunday Night Hall of Fame, came right before me.
What a great guy. Yeah.
And Ray always had something in the works.
Yeah.
I mean, Ray was the Penny Pitch charity head here. He was director of community affairs. He had his Sunday Night Hall of Fame show. He's one of our Hall of Famers. But Ray would always have something going on, and I walked in the studio one night, and he goes, "Bo, I got the next new thing, the next new Ray thing, Rockin' Ray." And I said, "What is that, Ray?" And he said, "It's going to be Rockin' Ray, the comic book."
and that was Ray Gooding for sure.
Oh, and I don't know that he ever did it, but he always had something on the burner, right?
I love that guy so much. We became really good friends over the years, and I still think about Rockin' Ray Gooding. Penny Pitch Charities.
Exactly, exactly. And his bust is on the wall right down the hall where it should be, right next to Ty Boyd and many others. So you were known as the Tidy Bowl Man. You were also known as another man that I want to get to when we come back, among other things.
Wait a minute. How can you guys be Larry Sprinkle? I'm the real Larry Sprinkle. Everybody needs a little sprinkle in the morning on the new 95Q.
Well, that's what I said. We need a little sprinkle in the morning, and here you are, Larry
Sprinkle.
I'm right
here. The Big Drip is here, right here in the studio with you, Bo. It's great to be here with you. I mean, this is so much fun. That right there was a spot that we actually did here, recorded here, taped here. Downstairs, and that's when I was doing the morning show by myself. Mm-hmm. We had Murphy left. We had several incarnations of the morning show. Jack Daniel and I did the Rude Awakening for about 3 months. It was a heavy metal morning show. And say, "That's not going to work. Can't get it out of here." So I did the morning show by myself, solo, for maybe almost 2 years. And then they brought in a guy named Jack Murphy, who's done very well. He had a great career. And that's they had the Q Morning Zoo, and that's when I went. It's time for me to zone out of here, find my own animals, and leave. And that's when I went to WCNC TV, where I've been 36 years, almost exactly 36 years ago, and where I'm, you know, there every morning, dark and early on the air, starting at 4:30. I wake up Charlotte, and you know, even though the hours are crazy, I still love doing it every single day.
Well, I have you on the monitor when I'm in here doing my show. Yeah. I always tell everybody who's on TV in town, we have several monitors in here, and I say, I've seen your show many times, never heard I've heard you, but if somebody's new, a lot of times I'll say, I haven't really heard you much, but I see what you're doing.
At least you watch it. That's the main thing.
I'm halfway there. Yeah. Let me go through. We have little time left. You said that we established that you were at one point in time the Tidy Bowl Man.
Right.
You're also another man.
It's time for the Fabulous Funnies. I'm the Sonic Man. Today, you and I will be watching our favorite characters in the fabulous world of funnies. There's Popeye, Spider-Man, the superheroes, and lots, lots more, plus our favorite game, Gotcha! And I would like for you to send me your name, address, and telephone number, along with your age, on a postcard to Sonic Man, P.O. Box 180.
So, John Moore, I think you probably did that, didn't you?
Yes, I'm sure I did.
Let us all megulate and man the refractex. I am Sonic Man from UTOR. What's amazing about that, that's from 1978.
Okay.
I mean, you think that many years ago, and that was over on Channel 18. Sonic Man was a kid's show every afternoon, and Sonic Man was this character, you know, superhero-type character. The outfit was kind of like I don't know, like a Superman, Batman, mm-hmm. a Power Rangers kind of outfit.
Underoos before they became
famous. Oh, my
famous.
Gosh. You don't know the story about me and the tights that almost ended up not wanting to do that and saying, I'm not going to do it if I got to wear those. But then they held the check out in front of me. I said, okay. But it was catered to kids, and it was kind of educational, kind of the fundamentals of life along with the fun and games of cartoons in the afternoon. And Lindsay Logue was the creator, and we had a fantastic time there. I still get people either back in the day, just used to be phone calls, or I'd be in a parade somewhere, and they go, Silent Man. I go, Oban, let us all regulate and man the refractax. But I get emails, phone calls, run into people, and, you know, it's like, this has been about a month ago. I was at the grocery store, and this gentleman, you know, a grown guy with two little kids, goes, Larry, Frank Stevens, this is my little kids here. Back when I was 8, I used to watch you. Yeah, okay. Yeah, it has been a long time ago. 1978, back in the day.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Sonic Man, Tidy Mole Man. Now, I was telling you this off the air. You were, and still are, but during a certain era for me, growing up listening to 80s radio, you were one of those voices, in addition to all the other things that you did. I mean, John Calsby's in this category, Fred mm-hmm. Story's in this category, I could name others, Joe Van Riper, these voices that were these household industrial voices that could be the announcer of anything. And there was a specific commercial for a place that doesn't exist anymore, but it's always ingrained in my head for some reason, because I made some, you know, I rolled tape on the radio one time. It was on ROQ or BCY or something like that. I found it last night.
Tarte's gigantic floor sample sellout has been held over due to the tremendous response. Shop now through Labor Day Monday for savings up to 40% on
now,
specially marked.
Listen to that voice. I'm talking, and I always think of Larry Sprinkle.
What happened to me? Why do I?
At Tarte's.
Yeah, I mean, I did that for Tarte's, and then they evolved into stereo video. I mean, it was you know, there was a few extra dollars here and there for doing those commercials. I loved that part of my job in radio, doing all the voiceover work. A lot of those, like Tarte's and stereo video, Carolina Waterbeds, among others.
Carolina, Carolina Waterbeds.
Naturally.
Yeah.
Very few people would ever remember that, except you two guys here. Way back in the day. It goes all the way back into the 70s. Yeah, a lot of local. I was very lucky that through JTA, the talent agency, I had a chance to do a lot of national voiceover things over the years. I did McDonald's. I did Golden Griddle pancake syrup, Little Debbie snack foods.
You did and have done everything. That's what I love about you.
Well,
I mean,
maybe.
You really have. It's the king of all media, yeah. At least for this area. And unfortunately, as you well know, the clock is our enemy sometimes, because I'd love to do 8 more segments. So can we do it again sometime?
I would be honored. I'll come back in tomorrow. No, but this has been so much fun to kind of, you know, just go back in time, remember everything. And someone like you who has that knack for knowledge and trivia, the good, the bad, the ugly, and you know, John Moore over there, thank you both for inviting me. And just, it's really been, for me, just a really humbling experience to kind of look back and you know, thanks for all the kind words. And, yeah, definitely, I'll do it again.
Well, thank you
for inspiring
me. And I know John says the same thing, because we wouldn't be here without